Dear God in heaven, we thank you so much for your power, your might. We exalt your name. Today you're the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the I Am, the Mighty One, our Redeemer, our Savior, our hope. We choose to put our faith in you today. We ask you to give us guidance and wisdom. We know that many people in our congregation and in our community have many struggles. There may be those facing illness, depression, sickness, sadness, surgery. Lord, we ask for hope today. We ask for healing. We know that sometimes physical healing isn't possible, but because you have given us the hope of heaven, we can truly never be defeated. I pray for our pastor, Pastor Omar, Barbara, Jomar. Thank you so much, God, for sending them to work with us. May we be a blessing to each other. May we be teammates. I pray for Pastor to have your words that he shares with us today. I want to ask for you to give hope to the hopeless, to give renewed strength to those that feel weak. We know that you are the all-powerful one. We know that if we put our trust in you, you will not leave us. You've promised to always be with us. I want to thank you, Lord, for parents, for grandparents, for friends, for prayer partners. Help people not to give up. Help people to keep going despite discouragement, despite challenges. We know that where two or three are gathered, that you are with us, and we thank you for joining us today. We put all of our challenges in your hands today, and we give ourselves to you. Thank you, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory. And God, I want to ask for forgiveness for our individual sins, for our group sins. Sometimes we don't do what we should do. We make mistakes. We fall. You've told us in Romans that we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of your glory. So I ask you to come in, abide with us, cleanse us, wash away our sins. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh, Revelation 19. I'm James. All right. It's 19:1. Okay.
All right, you guys can hear me, right?
All right, good. After Revelation 19:1 says, after these things,
I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. Amen.
There we go. Can you hear me? All right. Beautiful. Happy Sabbath, everyone. How's everyone doing? Oh, come on. Today's a beautiful, gorgeous day. Happy Sabbath, everyone. How's everyone doing? Happy Sabbath. Happy Sabbath. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. We're here today, and I am so grateful for being here. I wanted to kind of make an announcement. Let's see if I can blow this up a little bit. There is a Disciple Trek Camp Mivoden, I guess is how you pronounce it, or Mivoden, I'm sorry, Mivoden. And so I guess this is every year they have this camp, I'm assuming. It's a three-week camp. It's a dynamic camp for our kids, for our young people, from the ages of 15, 18 years old, those that are in ninth grade. The camp is between June 27th through July 18th. Now, in this camp, what is it about? It's a spiritual journey the kids will have where they can enjoy, in nature. And let me tell you, there's a lot of nature out here, but also enjoy in nature. Get away from this, maybe just being around here and just staying stuck here. I really believe that you know, we're trying to provide as much as we can for our kids, our children. As you know, Satan is attacking them every day to the point that many of them have decided to commit suicide. And so this is something that I want to implore our church really to help out and support any kid that wants to go to this camp. We have plenty of children or young teens in this church that can go to this camp. And so finance shouldn't be a problem. As a matter of fact, besides what the parent can give, the church and also the actual camp itself are also donating so that kids can go to this camp. So if you are interested, please, you can speak to me and we can see what we can do to have allow our kids to be able to go to this camp. There were scholarships that were available to the kids. So, it's a fabulous camp, three-week camp. Wow, I can't imagine that here in Washington. That must be beautiful. As a matter of fact, it says somewhere around here that the parent can go. So, this parent might go, maybe for a week. So, you might not see me. All right? But let me know. I just wanted to kind of promote this. Well, no, I am promoting it so that our kids can go and enjoy not only having a good time with other teenagers that are their age, but also having a good time in the presence of God out in nature. Amen? Okay, thank you. The other thing I wanted to do is I met a wonderful person today, and her name goes by the name of Donna. Donna, welcome to our church. I wanted to give you a little something for you to read along your trip. I know that I don't know how long you're staying, but I wanted to give you this little book here from our church to you. Hopefully you can enjoy it. It's the Praying the Promises of God. Amen? Because God gives us promises. And if we don't know them, how can we claim them? So hopefully you can enjoy that book. Also, I wanted to give something to Emma. Emma has been coming along here. She's not here right now. Is she? Nope. She's dealing with the baby. But Emma, I'll give this to her later. Someone can give this to her later, baby. It's another book that as well speaks about God carrying you through. All right. My friends, I had an interesting week. It ended, of course, Sabbath and Sabbath hours. It was actually pretty amazing. I was hoping that God will connect me with someone. I had a divine appointment. And I was just like, man, I've gone through the whole week and I haven't had this divine appointment where I meet someone and they just, you know, something happens. And so I was almost disappointed a little bit. And this Friday, I got the chance to I went to our gym, to our local gym there at the academy, and normally they play basketball there, so I went over there, and I was like, one game, you know, and I'll come back home. Well, almost no one showed up. It was only the person that opens it and this one gentleman that I first met when I first went there. His name is Herman. And the gentleman that opens the gym, Joel, do you remember his name? Mick. Yes. He explained to me that his two cousins are headed to Ukraine because of the aggression that the Russians have over there with Ukraine. And so his two cousins, I guess they just recently signed up for the military, are heading over there, young guys. And so he would like prayer for his two cousins. Mick is his name. The other one was Herman. And Herman was pretty interesting. He's a really good basketball player. And he was giving it to the pastor. He had no mercy. I found out that he was only 3 years older than me. And so he was going. We were going at it. He beat me at the best out of seven series that we did. But the funny part, or I guess the part that really put everything in perspective, why God had allowed me to play this individual by myself one-on-one because everybody else left, was because Herman told me, he said, Pastor, when he found out I was a pastor, he says, oh, I am a Christian too, he says. And he says, everybody makes fun of me. All my friends, because right now they're probably getting ready to go out and drink. You know, it's a big thing here. All the young people like to drink, and I don't drink. I don't smoke, you know. And I said, you must be Seventh-day Adventist. Nope, he wasn't Seventh-day Adventist. But what we did share in common was that we love Christ, and we found out how the deep love that we have for Christ. And that was the most important part of our conversation. The second most important part is that he had a passion for the youth. He said, have you realized? And he says, I've only been here a couple years, but I've realized that so many young people are committing suicide here in the state of Washington, especially in our area. And that is a concern of mine. And I looked at him and I said, it was like we were just having this connection where I felt that the Holy Spirit really had bonded us at that moment. I said, wow, my brother, I was thinking the same thing. And I'm thinking, how can we help our community? Anyways, long story short, he stated, well, is there any way that we can team up and do some activities maybe here at this gym in the nighttime? And I said, well, you know what? We have a couple programs that do help our youth. We have one that is called Pathfinders. He says, what is Pathfinders? And when I explained to him what Pathfinder was, like, that's pretty awesome. And he goes, but I have little kids in my church. I said, well, we have one for them too. It's called Adventures. It felt so warm in my, I'm not going to lie to you, it felt very warm in my heart to know that we have programs that help our youth, that guide our youth. And I said also to him, and we also will have Saturday nights available. You know, and so he was ecstatic. He was like very happy, and he's willing to help out in this program. That was one of the wonderful things that I got out of it. His willingness to serve to help his fellow man. So I thank God for that. I thank God that he finally brought that to my attention and brought Herman into my life. Who knows? Maybe we'll see Herman here one day as well. Amen. Let us pray while we dive into today's message. Hallelujah, past, present, and future. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you so much. I want to thank you so much for the opportunity given us to be here today. I know that we pray a lot here in our service, but Father, we cannot do without prayer. Prayer is so important, and we thank you for the connection you allow us to have with you through prayer. But now we're going to open up your word, and we're going to talk about you, Father. We're going to be able to see what you have in store for us. And so I just pray that the words that come out of my mouth are the words that you want me to convey to our church. We love you and we thank you and we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So I intentionally did all these sermons the last couple of weeks with the intention of bringing it into a culmination, kind of like a series. The first sermon was in regards to the intentionality as a Christian that we should have. We should be intentional in our walk with God, but also intentional with our fellow man. That is very important. The other one was resilience. God didn't create junk. He created resilient individuals, resiliently extraordinary. He created us to be able to bounce off things and repel things and be able to get back up even when dark moments come to our lives. He calls us to remember Zakar, remember him, remember the wonderful things that he's done in our lives, remember how he's given us Jesus Christ so that we can die self and live in Jesus Christ. Amen. And remember all the wonderful things that he's done for us and never forget those things. Because sometimes discouragement comes to our lives, and even though discouragement comes to our lives, there is an opportunity knocking at the door for us to be able to be resiliently extraordinary. Amen. And so that is the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 4 sermons that I've done here thus far. And to sum it up today, hallelujah, past, present, and future. Past, present, and future. And so I don't know about you, but do you recall the moment in which you probably the time in which you commenced, right, your walk with God, you began that relationship with God? Do you recall that moment? If you close your eyes and you think really hard, how long ago was this moment in which you were able to say, this is when I first started my walk with God? And God, and you remember how that in that time God grasped you. He took you out of the darkness of your wretched soul. I don't know if you recall that time in which you felt alone, probably. You probably felt abandoned. You probably felt that no one cared. But then you heard the news, the good news of the living God of Jesus Christ and the sacrifice that he did for you and me. And so you probably remember that and say, wow, that was the moment in which I was able to accept. And so we think about, how did that change your life? How did that transpire, right? Was your life now of your perspective of life different? I think so. I think when God enters into our lives change for the better. Amen? Amen. And so you probably felt pretty spectacular. You probably felt like the world around you has changed. You don't see through the lens of Omar anymore or anybody else, but through your own lens, and you see through the lens of God and how he wants to open up doors for you and also close someone as well. And so he has consumed you. He has consumed every thought, every aspect of your life now. And so you feel this great joy in your heart. You probably felt this great joy in your heart, and nothing was going to stop you. You know, I believe that David in the Bible also had that experience. And as a young man, and taking care probably of the sheep, maybe nobody else wanted to take care of the sheep in his household. And so they gave him that job, right? And so he was out there thinking, you know, out of the way of his brothers and all that. But little did they know that David was having an awesome experience with God, a one-on-one conversation where, so the Bible says that, what, David became what? Best friends with God, a man after God's own heart. Wow. God was with David, and David was surely walking with God. And through that, he was able to see the lens. He was able to see God's view of everything around him. And so I can only picture the way that he lived his life. It was one that had a lot of zeal, a lot of joy in his heart. He didn't mind going out and taking care of the sheep. He didn't mind going out there and going after a lion that tried to take the sheep from him. He didn't mind doing what he was told to do, what he was commanded to do. For David, it was great joy. My friends, I don't know, when I fell in love with Jesus, when I fell in love with God, it was just with great joy. I wanted to do everything for God. I wanted to help the people. I wanted to talk about God all the time. I didn't mind staying up for hours reading my Bible. I didn't mind at times helping my fellow brother or the person that wanted to know more about God. It was just like this zeal. I couldn't shut up. Kind of like right now. I just can't. I can't. It's too good. It's too good. What God offers us is too good. And so David, at his times, you know, his greatness through God working in his life, He was able to see how there was harmony between him and God. And so when Goliath came to talk bad about his God, what did he do? He struck him without any fear whatsoever, because he knew God was with him. When Saul became jealous of him, right? When Saul became jealous of him, instead of taking him out, he showed him mercy and compassion, the same mercy and compassion that God gave him. Amen. And when it took time to go out to war, he was the first one in the battle. He was out there battling, the first one in line. He didn't mind being the first one in line because he knew that God was with him. And because of that, he won wars. And he was able to lead the people of Israel to a great nation. You know, God also calls us to do the same, to achieve the same in different ways. It is like a perfect fabric. In the Bible, in Psalms 112, if you can please turn your pages to your Bible at Psalms 112, David expresses this wonderful command. This wonderful command that I think that we all should also use in our lives. In Psalms 112, I'm reading from the NIV only because I love the words that it uses here. And it reads as follows. The first word that it says here is, Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! Blessed are those who fear the Lord, who find great delight in His commands. Who find what? Great delight in His commands. You know, as humans, okay, we're just talking humanly possible here. And in human terms, we don't like to take what? A lot of times we don't like to take commands. Right? We do not like to take commands. It's hard for us sometimes to take commands. You know, there's things called pride that take over us a little bit. Maybe a little bit of pride or maybe our ego is a little too big. Or I don't know. There's something about us taking commands. We have problems taking commands. But here, my brother David delights in taking commands from the Lord. Amen? We should also delight in taking commands from the Lord. He is our God. He is our Savior. He is our Redeemer. And here David is expressing Hallelujah. Hallelujah means what? So in Hebrew, it is a compound word. The first part, Hallel, means to praise with joy. Praise with joy. Have you ever praised God with joy today? Amen. I hope you did. I hope you came to church to praise God with joy. Amen. And the Yah is a shortened form of the unspoken name of God, which is Yahweh. So you have Hallelujah. These two compound words make this Hebrew word Hallelujah, which means to praise God. Hence, some of your versions may start with just praise the Lord. Okay, that you may see the Lord capitalized, which in reality it's a substitution because Hebrews didn't like to say the name Yahweh. And that's how they think it's pronounced. One day I'm going to give you a lesson, a little backstory on the word Yahweh. I think you'll be fairly impressed about that particular name of God in which the Hebrews used. Now, so this Hallelujah is what is called an active imperative. An active imperative is an instruction to the listener. It's an instruction to the listener to, hey, pay attention. There's a command here. Hey, we gotta all praise the Lord. It's to catch your attention. There's an action here, and the action is to praise the Lord with joy. With joy. You know, in churches, I've been in numerous and different types of churches. In churches, it's easy to come to church and praise the Lord. You can get excited and praise the Lord. Sometimes you'll see the person dance. Sometimes you'll see them wave their hands. Sometimes you'll hear them sing. And even though they cannot sing like the pastor, they will sing with everything they got. And sweat comes down and they're just praising the Lord. Hallelujah. Right? And there's sometimes the ones that are very silent. And the Hallelujah is like inside of them. You know, it wants to come out, but it's just silent. You know, And they want to say hallelujah, and they're saying it in their minds, hallelujah, and that's okay too. That's okay too. I don't mind those either. But when we come to church, we come to praise, right, and sing hallelujah, because God has been good throughout the whole week. Even though we had maybe a messed up week, we can come to church and know that we are here to praise God, hallelujah. Oh man, it is such an amazing feeling when you come to Sabbath. You know Sabbath is here. You know the sun is about to come. And sometimes we put so much pressure on our Fridays, you know, before Sabbath. But have you ever had even a relaxed Friday where you're just waiting for that sun to come down so that you can say, hallelujah, finally I get to praise the Lord 24 hours. And so that is an exciting moment when you have your hallelujah. It is a command by David. Here, David commands us to praise the Lord. Blessed are those who have reverence for the things of the Lord, who have respect for the Lord, who find great delight in his commands. And I think that we all get there when we first meet the Lord. We just have that fire in us. Recently, I don't know if I already told this story, but I recently had baptized two individuals in my church, and they are just on fire for Christ. And one of them in particular, he's like, Pastor, give me all the material you got. Give me, you know, I want to go out and pass out literature today on the Sabbath. And I was like, okay, brother, it's like 100 degrees out here, and this is Texas weather, okay? And, you know, this is like sweating bullets, you know, you're just like sweating like crazy. I said, you want to go pass out literature? Okay. So I went to my house, and I grabbed all the literature that I had, English, Spanish, Portuguese, whatever, and I grabbed everything. I said, hey, man, here's a bunch of literature. And I didn't think he was going to do it, but this gentleman went with his family. He went to the park, and he handed out all his literature. He went down to his street, handed out all the literature. Next Sabbath, he comes, Pastor, you know, he calls me. He's like, I got to talk to you. I said, okay, let's meet up. So we meet up, and he goes, Pastor, you know, I passed out all the literature that you gave me. I said, what? There was over 100 pieces of literature there. He says, yeah, and I'm so sad, Pastor. I said, whoa, what you mean you're sad? You just passed out all the literature. He goes, I almost passed out all the literature. I passed out all the literature except for one. One person rejected me. And he was so sad in his face that this one person rejected him. And I'm looking at him like, that is a good percentage. What are you talking about? In my mind, I'm like, what are you talking about? That's 99%, my brother. That 99 people accepted the little book that you gave them. I'm pretty sure he had his little spiel. We went over it. And I'm like, that is a pretty good percentage, my friend. And he goes, yeah, Pastor, but that one, just that one person. And I said, wow. I said, well, you know what? You continue passing out. The percentage will even grow, sometimes dwindle. It might go back and forth, but you just keep passing them out. And he's so on fire for Christ. You know, he has that desire. You know, unfortunately, the Satan has his plans too, because let me tell you something. God has plans for you, amen? But guess what? Satan has plans for you too. And if you allow that discouragement to settle in your mind, he could take advantage of that. And so I gave him some more. I said, listen, keep passing them out. I'm going to come with you and we'll pass them out. Get some other brothers and pass them out. Let you be continued to be praising the Lord, taking action to praise him. Hallelujah. But the reality is, and the reason I told that story is that the reality is that we live in a world that is filled with pain. The reality is that we live in a world where the fabric, you can have the perfect fabric, and when you tear it, what happens to that fabric? Is it the same? No, you can sew that together, and it will never have the same what? The same strength that it had when it was one full fabric. You know, I did a little bit of welding in my time at Southern Adventist University, and I remember that we had two pieces of metal and tried to put them together, right? And, you know, you're welding this metal together. And he says it has to be almost as good as if you were, as if it was one solid piece. And so the way that he would test your welding skills, besides looking at it and saying this is a bad weld, was by trying to break it. And a lot of times that's what happened. My welding was not as good as it should have been. It took practice. but it never was perfect in sense. It never became again. And so our lives, a lot of times, are scarred. It has the same element where things pull us apart. Sin pulls us apart and rips us into pieces. And one day I'll talk about that as well. But that's the world that we live in, unfortunately. And so our hallelujah actually changes, my friends. We might come to church and put a smile. We might come to church and say hello to everyone and be nice, be kind. We might listen to the sermon. We might sing a praise. We might even feel a little fire in us, a little bit. But the reality is we're thinking about our family member that is sick with cancer. Or maybe we had a loved one that has passed away. Or maybe I'm thinking about my finances. Maybe I'm thinking about, is this economy, should I move? Should I stay? Where should I go? What should be my next step? Or maybe that no one has visited me this week. No one has called me this week. And so the reality is that we live in this world where there is loneliness, there is brokenness. And that's just the truth. How do we deal with that? How do we come to church and praise our Lord with joy? How is it? And so, unfortunately, I may suggest that even in David's life, he also experienced brokenness when he committed his biggest mistakes in his life. We all committed mistakes. We all fall short of the glory of God. But can we still sing and praise hallelujah? I believe so. Amen. It may be a broken hallelujah, and that's okay. God doesn't want to take away the praise that he deserves. It may be a broken hallelujah in which sometimes instead of saying hallelujah with a smile, it may be saying hallelujah with a tear in our eyes. You know, it's a struggle to come to church sometimes. Even the fact that you are here today, I don't know what you personally are going through in your life. But we have to remember, Zakar, about the time in which we did have that joy in our heart, that we had that fire in us, that Holy Spirit speaking to our minds and heart continuously. And just because of the things of this world, the brokenness of this world, we can emotionally be lost. Emotionally, we can be lost. And so our hallelujah changes because love in this world of sin, love of this world of sin is a painful love. Do you think God made it that way? Do you think that love should be painful? Originally not, because a love that is painful because there is self-centeredness. There's a self-centeredness in us. And the sin just breaks that apart. Have you ever heard of a love song, right? And it feels so right. It talks about love. And it feels so right because it is the pain that you're experiencing. Maybe you broke up with someone, right? And so this love song is talking about the breakup. But you still love that person, but they don't want to be with you. And so there's this brokenness there, right? But there's still love. There's still love, even if it's from one part of one side of one-sided love. There's still love there. And I believe it's the same way that God, he loves us, even though we've broken that with him through sin. See, you have the self-centered love, the love that is painful, but then you have what is the true sinless love, which is agape. And agape is self-sacrificing love. And so in Psalms 55, I want to take you to Psalms 55 because I believe that even through all this pain, I want you to see how David also felt this love. Because I believe we've all fallen into this emotional state in our minds and hearts. I think we've all been here, my friends. Look how he speaks to the Lord, to the one that rescued him, the one that helped him defeat Goliath, the one that allowed him to win wars, the one that allowed him to be able to have compassion over the one that was trying to kill him. Look what he says here. It says, listen to my prayer, O God. Do not ignore my plea. How many of us have pleaded with God? How many of us have asked God, God, please take care of this? And we feel that God doesn't listen to us. That where is God? Where is God? How many of us ask ourselves that question? here. He's boldly coming to the Lord and saying, listen. He's commanding the Lord to listen to him. Sometimes we are afraid to ask God to listen to us as if though he's deaf or something like that. Is God deaf? Does he listen to our prayers? Yes. Amen. Yes, he does. But see, the emotions get in the way of us, in the way that we feel things. And sometimes it may feel like he's not listening because we're not getting a response. And so we're pleading with him. We're crying out. We're spreading. We're giving him everything. We're surrendering everything to him. And we say, hear me and answer me. We want an answer. And so we struggle with that. There is a struggle there. As long as we live in this world, there is a struggle there. Look at what he says here. My thoughts trouble me, and I am distraught because of what my enemy is saying, because of the threats of the wicked. Wow. My friends, your enemies are telling you, what God? Why do you follow his commands? What is the purpose of this? Why believe in all this religion stuff? Why believe in God after all? And so they threaten us. They threaten our relationship, our faith with God. And it is why we struggle. We start listening sometimes to those voices. But here David is saying, because of what my enemy is saying, because of the threats of the wicked, for they bring down suffering on me and assail me in their anger. My heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death have fallen on me. Fear and trembling have beset me. Horror has overwhelmed me. Wow. I think we've all at one point in our lives have felt that. I think we all had that fear, the anguish, the confusion that happens in this world because of sin. I think we've all fallen there. I want to show you this song because I believe that David had a transition where he had this really close relationship with God. And because of sin, somewhere along the way, he got distraught. It was broken, that relationship. Not because God broke it, but because the choices that we make in this world sometimes break that relationship. But God seeks us. And so if we can play that song really quick, this is a popular song that's coming back into here. You see, like David, our hallelujah, it starts off good. It starts off great. And a lot of times we are so excited and we're pumped. This can happen through the trajectory of our journey with God, with Jesus. And the truth is that we are broken. We are broken a lot of times, and our hallelujah is broken as well. But does it stay there is the question for today. Our hallelujah changes, and it transforms. Amen. Amen? It does not leave us in abyss. Our hallelujah changes, and it transforms, and it does not leave us in abyss. For God has made so many promises to us. In Revelation 19 is where I want to take you to conclude this. For hallelujah in the past, hallelujah in the present, and now we will have a hallelujah. Check this out. We'll have a hallelujah for the future to look forward to. In Revelation 19, this is the scene in which you and I one day await for, where we're walking through the gates. And we're able to see the streets of gold, and we're walking towards the kingdom of God. And here it says here, after this I heard what sounded, this is John speaking, after this I heard what sounded like the roar of a great multitude, where? In heaven. And what were they doing? It says they were shouting in heaven, shouting. It won't be a funeral. It'll be quiet and silence. They'll be shouting in heaven. Amen? But what were they shouting? Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God, for true and just are his judgments. He has condemned the great prostitute who corrupted the earth by her adulteries. He has avenged on her the blood of his servants. All those that David was talking about, all those that we talk about today, in which unfortunately we feel that come after us for whatever reason. Here says that this hallelujah that we sing is the one of what? Salvation. Where at first this hallelujah, note that this is actually still in Hebrew. They use the same hallelujah in Hebrew to apply it into the Greek. And so this hallelujah doesn't change. Praising the Lord doesn't change. Praising the Lord with joy does not change. But what changes now, it went from a command, where we're commanded to praise the Lord, to now a hallelujah, which gives us a sense of direction. Because the direction is that we're saved. This is a hallelujah of complete joy. This is a hallelujah of being able to now come from the ashes and the dust, my friends. And hallelujah in which we're receiving salvation in its entirety. The judgments have already been established, have done away with. And God, when he judges correctly. We don't have to do that work. Amen. Because I don't want to judge nobody. Because usually when we point the finger, how many fingers are pointing at us? Right? Three are pointing at us. And so this is a totally different hallelujah. This is a hallelujah where we're going to get, I don't know, sometimes I think about the song, right? I can only imagine. And sometimes we're thinking about dancing around Jesus. Others are probably going to kneel down and pray and praise him, kiss his feet. Some of us are going to take his hands and kiss where he sacrificed, where he had a nail stuck through his hands and sacrificed himself for us. Some of us just want to hug him. I don't know. I mean, we're going to have to make some serious appointments. But I can't wait for that day in which I get to see my Savior, the one that saves me. And it is because of him that I'm singing hallelujah. Now I'm a complete being in front of God, in front of Jesus. To him is the glory and the power. They belong to him only and only to him. He has condemned the great prostitute. He's done with sin. Sin is done with, my friends. That's it. No more crying, no more sighing, no more fear of anything, of death, of COVID, of nothing. He's done away with it. No one can hurt us anymore. No one can hurt us anymore. This love is complete. I can't wait for that day. It says here, and did they stop there? No, it says, and again, they shouted, hallelujah. The smoke from her goes up forever and ever. The 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God, who was seated on the throne, and they cried, amen, hallelujah. And I can just imagine us singing along with them and saying in a loud voice. Oh, well, it says here, then a voice came from the throne saying again, praise our God, all you his servants, you who fear him, both great and small. And then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like a roar of rushing waters, and like loud peals of thunder shouting, what? Hallelujah. Don't be afraid to say it. What did they say? Hallelujah. Woo! Amen, right? Hallelujah. My friends, I get excited. I wish I could sing it, but let me tell you, they are just praising the Lord, for the Lord God Almighty, what? Reigns. The Lord God Almighty reigns. Not only out here in the universe and what he's created, but also in our hearts. Amen. Why do I say that? Because look what it says. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of God's holy people, meaning that we sided with him, meaning that we followed his commands. Here are the patience of the saints, those that keepeth the commandments and also the testimony of Christ. Amen. And then the angel said to me, write these things. Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And he added, these are the true words of God. This is not Pastor Omar inventing this. These are the true words of God. And so what does this mean? Now this hallelujah that has rescued us. Now this hallelujah of praise rather than direction to offer praise. What does this mean? Well, that what you have experienced yesterday, in the past, and in the present, today, the reels of life, the past, the present, it does not define the moment, but it leads us to appraise God now, the now, because he has promised us an hallelujah of direction into the realm of his heavenly presence for eternity. Let me read that again, my friends. It is that hallelujah that you sing today, although it may be broken, but we have to continue singing that hallelujah, because it is that promise that is written here that we read. It says, blessed are those, right? It says, blessed are those. It is that promise that gives us the opportunity to be able to remember that, Zakar, so that it intentionally we will sing hallelujah one day in its fullness for an eternity. Not just for one day, which is Sabbath, no. For an eternity, my friends. So you are blessed and invited to shout, okay? You're invited to shout hallelujah. I don't know where you want to do that shouting. It could be in your shower. It could be in your house. One day, maybe doing the flowers outside, and you see how beautiful God is and everything that he's done. I mean, I see these mountains sometimes, and I'm just like, hallelujah, in my heart, in my mind. I see how great he is and his wonders and everything. But knowing that one day I could just imagine his throne here, and I could sit down here. That's how near I could be next to God, to Jesus. And we can just praise hallelujah and shout hallelujah over and over and over. Or I can just be falling in my face and praising him always. And you know what? I will never get tired of doing that. We will never get tired of doing that. We will continue to do it over and over again. That's not what I said. That's what the Bible says, that we will fall also and praise him. So, you are blessed and invited to shout hallelujah in the heavenly kingdom. Everything has changed, and we shall praise him boldly today in singing hallelujah. You know, the reason I brought these particular sermons to you is because I want us to start a journey together. And that journey is to think about not the past. Oh, other pastors done it this way, or this never worked in the past. Can't think about the past anymore. The past is the past. And you know what? Sometimes the president may not be also something to think about. Sometimes the president also can bring us down, because right now, you know, for example, you can say, oh, well, pastor, I don't have the money. I don't have the resources, or I'm going through this problem and I'm going through that problem. And that can stop us from doing what we need to do. What we need to think about is the future. What I want us to think about is the future, about that day that we're going to be singing hallelujah. And so, you know, it's all about mindset, your mindset. You have to start believing now, believing today, that you will be there, that you will be there in that kingdom. Forget about, listen, we all have problems. We all fall short of the glory of God. But pastor, I have an addiction. Okay, that's fine. But don't think about your addiction. Think about the future. Think about what it means to be with God all the time. Think about when he saved you out of your first time that you had that addiction. Oh, pastor, I have a bad character. Okay, think about Jesus. Think about the future. Think about being with him. Why do I say this? There was this this young man, high school. You know, he was failing out of high school. He was having some serious problems, okay, with school. He didn't want to go to class, okay? Typical teenager, skip class and all that stuff, you know. And, you know, it was his junior year. And he promised his mom that he would take his SATs. I don't know what they call them over here. In a lot of places they call SATs or ACT. And what it is a test that the kids take before they go to college, and it kind of tells them where they're at and what college they can enter and all that stuff. And so he promises mom, okay, mom, I'll take the SATs. So he goes one Sunday, and he goes to take, because he was Seventh-day Adventist. This is a story. He goes that one Sunday, and he goes and takes the test. And his mom was like, okay, you know, took the test. Thank you, son. So he gets the results of his test. A couple weeks pass by, he gets the results of his test. Now, I don't know if you know about this test, but 1,600 is the highest, okay? 800, 900 will get you into a community college or normal college, you know. But 1,600 is the max. Well, when his mom opens the letter, she goes, she's like, what? And he goes, what, mom? How bad did I do? She goes, did you cheat? And he goes, no, mom, you know, I tried cheating, but it didn't work because, you know, the bubbles, and it's just, you can't cheat. And he goes, hey, there's no way you can cheat this test. And she goes, well, son, you got a 1440 on this test. You're actually smart. You're actually smart. I knew it. I had a smart child. And he is like, really, mom? I got a 1400? What? Out of 1600? I mean, you're almost a genius, right? So he goes to school, and he makes the biggest decision of his life. He decides to go to class. And so when he goes to class, you know, feeling good because, you know, he got a 1400 on his test, he leaves those friends behind, the ones that, you know, he used to cut class with, and now he goes to class. And now the teachers see that, oh, wait a minute, you know, Bob here has an opportunity. He's coming to class. Maybe we should take some more chances on him. And so this kid graduates high school. And he graduates, he goes to a community college, and he aces that too, and he gets accepted to one of the Ivy League schools. And then this kid becomes an entrepreneur of one of the top magazines in our country. And so that's where we think the story ends, right? But it doesn't. A couple months later, after he's married and has his mansion and all his cars and all his lovely life, he gets a letter from Princeton, New Jersey. And this letter, he ignores it at first, but his wife is like, hey, you got this letter from Princeton, New Jersey. I mean, it's from the SAT board, you know, the board that handles the SAT test. So he's like, all right, fine, just open it. And he's thinking something else, you know, and when they open it, he comes to find out it's a letter apologizing to him. Out of the whole country, 13 kids, unfortunately, got the wrong score. They gave it to the wrong person, and he happened to be the wrong person. His official score was a 740 out of 1,600. Mindset, my friends. We have to think that we're already there in the future, that we're in the presence of God every day. Because if we can't think that we're in the presence of God now, how can we think and fathom that we're going to be in the presence of God when we're in heaven? Mindset, my friends. We have to change our mindset. We cannot live this half and half life anymore. We have to be completely sold on God and His grace and His love, but also on what He wants and wants from us. His obedience, the dedication that we need to give to Him. See, this man changed because he understood that he had a 1400, right? And so his behavior changed, my friend. His whole demeanor changed. Well, guess what? You may have sin in your life. You may be going through some rough patches, but your demeanor can change today too. If you have the willingness to accept Christ in your life as number one, not number three, not number four, as number one. Everything changes from there on. It says He washes you like white, like snow, right? It says that He transformed you, His Spirit transformed you. Read Psalms 51. All God wants is the brokenness. Because out of brokenness, oh man, that's where He wants to do the miracle. That's where He wants to do the transformation. Surrender it to God. I hope that is your greatest desire today so that you can continue singing hallelujah and know that that hallelujah is not just any other hallelujah, but is a hallelujah in the future where it's complete. How many of us want to sing a complete hallelujah? Amen? Let us pray. Father in heaven, we come to You today knowing that this world forces us sometimes to kick rocks. It's just not a nice place. It's a stinky place. It's a place, Father, where a lot of things happen that we don't sometimes understand why. But we know and we have assurance through Your word. You have many promises there. And one of them is that even through our brokenness in this world, one day we will be complete again. That process starts here. Amen. Father, we have a lot of shortcomings, but it doesn't mean that we have to give up. We can have our mindset changed by Your Holy Spirit, by Your word speaking into our hearts and mind, by making better decisions. And so, Father, we want to start today to change our behavior, to change the way that we walk, that we may not walk slump, but we may walk upright with our face to the sky, to the heavens. Knowing that one day we will have that connection with You and be there forever and ever. So, Father, we ask You that in Your name, may You forgive us for all our trespasses. May You wash us clean with the blood of the Lamb. And moving forward, may we choose Jesus. May we choose to be on Your side no matter what happens. May our focus be completely on You. And secondly, to help our brothers and sisters here on this world to realize the same. We can't save them all, Father, but You're the one that does the saving. So use us as vessels to transport this message to all those that we come in contact with. We love You and we thank You, and we can't wait to see You. We pray all these things in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen. 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 God bless you, everyone. Hallelujah.
Our hallelujahs to God with number 27, rejoice, ye pure in heart.
Forever.
Father, we come once more and rejoicing in this wonderful Sabbath that you've given us. I pray that you continue to be with all the families here represented. May you bless them dearly. May we continue to enjoy the Sabbath with you, Father, until you come. We love you and we thank you. Thank you. In the name of Jesus, amen.